Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, I'm Otle. Africa, Omse. The beautiful African. Isolate. The first Larona. The land is ours. Shangolasho. Tikorahina. Africa, that is the clarion call. The traditional patriotic call of the liberation movement, the PAC, that served Mafrika. It served, suffered, and sacrificed, died. Members were executed calling to dispossess the land, its minerals, and natural resources. That was a call Mafrika as early as 1959. So Mafrika, as we know, the South Africa's Land Act, Native Land Act of 1913, dispossessed Africans 87% of their fertile land and left the Africans 13% of the dry land, almost. And that land was going to be used, quarter Africans, that is, segregate and settle Africans in labor camps. Well, they glorified as a form of townships, but also we had hostels that were depressing Africa. But as you say that, we've pointed out in the past programs that 1994, the last white president of the apartheid regime, kept on insisting Africa, there will be no constitutional vacuum. And that was not quite clear at that time. There will be no constitutional vacuum, telling the dominant party at that time, the African National Congress. And it turns out, Mafrika, it turns out what he meant was that the incoming majority government will take the constitution of South Africa as is, except, of course, to remove the most blatant, the most rejectionable racist laws. And most important, Mafrika, the constitution, as it was kept, retained the right to private property ownership. Retained the right to private property ownership, including land ownership. So that was the basis for the most notorious, the most ineffectual, useless policy that the majority government came up with in terms of resolving the land theft. They came up with the concept of Africa, willing buyer, willing seller. And the willing buyer of Africa turned out to be government. So, of course, the majority government used the government money to buy back stolen land. That's public money, Mafrika, that we could be using for housing to redress the past apartheid injustice. No. And on top of that, they allowed land speculation that ended up that the willing sellers were selling land at inflated, exorbitant prices. In Africa, they could only attain 5% of the land and the money ran out. So 21 years after the fact, Africa, today, the willing seller, willing buyer policy has failed. But there is no clear land policy in Africa. Like, for example, we've heard the president recently saying that, talking about, 21 years after the fact, that the people are, there's poverty, there's inequality, there's joblessness, because the people don't have land. Where did he discover that? But let's say, let's give the governing party the benefit of the doubt, because now they're coming up with, we had the Expropriation Act of number 63 of 1975. All right, and that Expropriation Act, that was under apartheid, of course, gave the minister the power to expropriate land and property. That was under the apartheid regime, all right? And the expropriation of the land will be used for public interest or public utility. What the majority government is doing is to try and amend that act to make it current. And some of the provisions they're coming with is that, okay, the Minister of Public Works will expropriate property, will designate land or property to expropriate, and that the subject or the victim, the one that whose land has been expropriated, will have 30 days to object to remuneration, because government has to come up with compensation. And you've got 30 days to come up with objection in court, objecting against the amount that has been given. And if so, the court comes up with a lower price, then the subject or the party will have to pay government for the legal costs. Maverick, the Native Land Act of 1930 took 87% of African land and left us with 13%. And that was a crime against humanity. That was occupation under international law. Maybe my Africa, let's go back a bit, because our position is that if a case where land was taken by force, 87%, you take it by force to redress, and especially if it was illegal or inhumane or in violation against natural and international law, you take it by force. What's the difficulty? You have the international law behind you. And we are saying that, Africa, you can expropriate. The state should take ownership, custodial ownership of the whole, all the land in the country, because it was stolen. And then you can deal with issues one by one, one piece of land at a time, one piece of property at a time. The amending the expropriation bill, Act of 1975, number 63. We are playing. This is jiving, ducking and jiving. That's all it is. Experimentation again. And waste our time, because we have fundamental rights. We have a natural right and a sovereign right to land. And we are dying. It's not that 20 years after the fact, most of us are going, or most of us are gone. And these people are just playing games over and over again. So, my Africa, it's up to you, the sovereign voter. It's up to you to wake up. Wake up, my Africa. Who do you vote for? Who do you give your vote to? To whom do you give your vote? Because you're giving power to wrong people. Wrong people. So you're saying, my Africa, the mineral, the state must take over the custodial ownership of the land, mineral, water, and natural resources, all of it. Take custody, because you've taken custodialship of the mineral rights. But what you've done is you've given it back to the monopoly mining companies, non-African, non-indigenous, and gotten a few of us to be integrated, co-opted into it. Now let's look at the history. Let's go back a little bit, Maverick. Take some time to go back. In 1870, a 17-year-old Cecil John Rhodes from London, England, Maverick, arrived in Durban. And he had about £3,000 that was lent to him by his aunt. And he used that to invest in the diamond diggings in Kimberley. Now, for all Maverick, the students everywhere, look at go back to Google and Internet on Cecil John Rhodes. This information from the Internet is there. I'm just giving it to those maybe that may not be able to have access to the Internet. So the boy arrived 17 years old in 1870. 1890, he became the Prime Minister of the Cape Colony. As you know, that the British were at that time the dominant force. They defeated the Boers. And in 1994, as the Prime Minister, he passed. He passed the Gray, Glenn Gray Act. And the pundits are saying that that is the year that saw the completion of the annexation of the Transkei and Pondoland. Critical, my friend. 1894, Glenn Gray Act annexed, completed the annexation of the Transkei and Pondoland. And the district of Glen Grey was located partly in Queenstown and partly in Woodhouse, divisions of Cape Colony. Now, what did this Glen Grey Act do? Press on the Africans to enter the labor market. It forced men who were sitting in the sand, relaxing under the trees, go look for work, man. Stop. Go find a job. And also, by severely restricting African access to land and land ownership rights so that they could not become owners of the means of production. Critical, my friend. Castrating my Africa, castrating us as a nation. No land, no means no means or ownership of the means of production. And secondly, it imposed a 10 shilling labor tax on all Africans who could not prove that they had been in bona fide wage employment for at least 3 months in a year. Now, let me repeat that, my friend. It imposed on the Africans a 10 shilling tax, labor tax, on all Africans who could not prove that they had been in bona fide wage employment for at least 3 months in a year. Now, my friend, when I grew up, we had this thing where you had to carry your passbook in your pocket. And your passbook had to have an employment stamp to prove that you are employed. If the police come up and look for that stamp and it's not there, you are illegal in that area. Second, they arrest you, take you to jail for one year. That is loitering, unemployment. You go to jail for being unemployed, not working. And what they do is, in jail, they used your labor, like, for example, you had potato farms to produce potato and other agrarian, you know, they just use you in the farms. You become a farm laborer. And that way, Africa, it became influx control, that it kept Africans from certain industrial areas, white job industrial areas, locations. It kept you out. So they kept track of everybody. That's basically what Cecil John Rhodes introduced until some of us grew up, and that's what we resisted against. Now, this land shortage, coupled with tax for not engaging in wage labor, would push thousands of Africans into the migrant labor. That's what they did. They were all measures essentially designed to ensure a system of labor migration which would feed the mines in both Kimberley and the Rand with cheap migrant labor. Now, the Rand used to be an area, Rand Witwatersrand. That was the place where the Rand current money is named after, the British. Now, the reading goes on, Africa. This section of the Act instigated the terrible migrant labor system that was to be so destructive in the 20th century South Africa. That's it, Africa. We are working for them, working for nothing. Indentured labor, slavery. Now, another pernicious outcome of the Glen Grey Act was its affected land rights claims and restricted and controlled where they could live. Like we have pointed out, Africa, it was camps. They created camps, Africa, glorified camps, labor camps, like townships. But we had the bad ones like hostels. So, according to the Act, Africa, African people were then termed no longer allowed to sell land without permission of the governor, nor were they allowed to divide or sublet the land or give it as inheritance to more than one heir. The Act also laid out that the Glen Grey area and the Transkei should remain purely native territories. Like we say in Africa, segregation. was eventually to become the foundation of the 1913 Native Land Act, a precursor to much of the apartheid policy of separate development and the creation of Bantustans. In Africa, one of the Rhodes' primary policies as prime minister was to aim for the creation of a South African federation under the British flag, a unified South Africa that was an incredibly important political goal for Rhodes. And he accomplished Africa. He accomplished it. And even when the Africaner born, the Afrikaners came to complain to Rhodes, complaining to the governor, came to Rhodes to complain about the number and the rise of propertied Africans who were competing with the Afrikaners and characteristically voted for English rather than Africans. In response, if they voted for the English representatives rather than the Africans, in response, Rhodes decided, Mafeka, to give the Afrikaners in Glengarry Act a policy which would disenfranchise Africans competing with the Afrikaners. That is, you couldn't compete against the Africans. They made a special law to disenfranchise you, whilst also ensuring Africans could not own farms which would compete with the Afrikaners. Now, Mafeka, we are laying this out. We are laying this out as grounds to dispossess. What are these guys waiting for 20 years after the fact? What did these guys eat? What's holding them back? What's holding them back? But initially, in Africa, as early as 1959, the PEC in my Africa pointed out that these are portfolio people. This is a portfolio liberation movement, portfolio political party. Just wanted to remove apartheid and take the place of the Nationalist Party. That's all they wanted to. I mean, to quote Sobukwe Mafika, question and answers. Mangalisa Robert Sobukwe, founding president of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, in January 1959, to quote him, Mafika, he says to the ANC leadership, the present nationalist government is a properly elected government of South Africa, whose policies, however, it does not approve of. And the ANC's main struggle to get the Nats out of power. The fact that the Nats are a logical product of the past South African history and that what they stand for is approved and supported by the overwhelming majority of whites in the country has apparently escaped the notice of the ANC leadership. We, however, stand for the complete overthrow of white domination. That means the South Africa Act of 1909 that fossilized relic of white exclusive privilege and prejudices must be scrapped. Now, the South Africa Act of 1909 that was implemented in 1910, the originator was Cecil John Rhodes. You see, that's why we read you, Mafeka. We read you. It started with the Glengarry Act and for Cecil John Rhodes' ambition was to have a united South Africa. And he got it, Mafeka. He got it. And we are running around calling ourselves South Africans. I was saying that to somebody he says, South African. I said, no, don't call me that bastardized name. Don't do that. And Mafeka, the apartheid was declared a crime against humanity, pursuing the United Nations International Convention on the Suppression and Punishment of the Crime of Apartheid, New York 30th, November 1973. International resolutions taken. Where did those resolutions go? Where did the resolutions go? We are dealing with a situation where other folks did not, they were told, no, there will be no constitutional vacuum. You take as it is. And that's why they got rid of some of these international conventions. They just threw them away. The crimes against humanity. I mean, we did not consent to that. We never voted for that. You don't give up your rights. You don't give up justice. They never got us any. They didn't get our land. They didn't get us anything. Even more Africa, international law backs them up. After what we've read with Cecil John Rhodes, Mafeka, this fake setup, the permanent, the United Nations, the permanent sovereignty that nations have over their natural resources and their right to nationalization, if this can be justified on the grounds of public utility, security, or the national interest, is fully affirmed in international law and was set out in the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 03 on permanent sovereignty over natural resources, and also 1962. 21 years, Mafrika, after the fact. 21 years. What do we have? Nothing. We don't have anything to show for it. Now, our government comes up and says that you are the government. You don't come up and complain to people about poverty, suffer poverty, inequality, and joblessness. Who are you joking to? You have the power. Implement. Tell us how you're going to do it. You gave up our land. You are ducking and diving, afraid to dispossess and nationalize this stolen land. Natural law and international law is on your side, and you are taking away our time. We are dying, man. We'll never get this because you are getting to be more confused. And don't insult us that, yes, you are insulted because you caused us to suffer poverty. We are sovereign people. We own the land. We own the natural resource. Mafrika, let's tick some stuff. Like a paper given by Dr. Motsoko Peko. You're like, enormous wealth of Africa, Mafrika. We can start with DRC. After Second World War, Mafrika. The Congo, that was then, Democratic Republic of Congo, that was then a Belgian colony, paid all financial debts of the European war after Belgium was overrun by the Nazi army of Adolf Hitler. It established a government in exile in London. And the colonial secretary of the exile Belgian government, Golding, has boasted that during the war, the Congo was able to finance all the expenditure of the Belgian government in exile in London, including the diplomatic service as well as the cost of armed forces in Europe and America. The Belgian gold reserve could be left intact. You know, after spending all that money, the gold reserve could be left intact. Now, talking about the Zania, South Africa, they stripped us. The very same people in London. They've stripped us, Mafrika. They've stripped us of the gold. It's almost empty. The mines are almost empty. They're deeper now. And you still did not take any. Nothing. We talk about chrome, building modern jet aircraft, engines for modern jet aircraft, cruise missiles, armaments. We talk about platinum, that's running the cars. We talk about coal. You talk about everything is for export. Mafrika, please rise up, man. Please rise up. Now we are talking about that. There's push. Roads must fall to remove the statue. They removed it in the University of Cape Town. All right. Now the children are trying to remove it in Oxford Oriel College, London. In Oxford Oriel College, in Africa, the Britain itself, and the quoting a chancellor of the Oxford University, he says that history, we cannot rewrite history to pander to contemporary views and prejudices, all right? And our history is not a blank page on which we can write our own version of what it should be have been according to our contemporary views and prejudices. And then another Lord Patton points out that many Oxford scholars depended upon funding from activities that would be unacceptable today, including many university buildings were constructed using the proceeds of activities that would be rightly condemned today. Okay, activities bad, horrible, inhumane, causing inhumanity, suffering, pay us back. Pay us back. And also, my Africa, these guys are hanging on the name South Africa. They are hanging on to it. I mean, you cannot even get them to move. They are hanging on to it. And also compromising with the stamp and South African one. They are hanging on to it. Hanging on to what? This thing is internationally disreputed. It's been thrown out. And you are hanging behind the cocktails of Cecil John Rhodes. That's bad, my Africa. And we look at the impact of it. Like they're saying that they are still benefiting. Some of you are paying scholarships. Now, the question is, you have gold fields. Gold fields, Cecil John Rhodes formed it in 1887. He launched it, Gold Fields of the South Africa Company. And then he launched De Beers, my Africa, in 1888. Now, these companies have continued. Gold Fields has continued, and it has roped in. It has roped in the elite. You talk about the issue of the land, the mineral and natural resources. The ANC elite, the few of the governing, you are the ones who occupy the boards of directors. Sometimes you have one person occupy more than 6, 7, 8 board of directors of companies, both mining, industrial, and whatnot. The question is, well, don't come to us. You know, you are talking with two sides of your mouth. Did you not come to us with that nonsense of poverty, inequality, and joblessness? And that the no. But in Africa, it's up to us. Because as we speak, Goldfield is continuing. 1887, founded by Cecil John Rhodes. All right? And De Beers, in Africa, is continuing. Now, recently, Kosati was complaining that De Beers is selling its tailings mines to, I think it's another company, Kappa Minerals, all right? And they were, you are part of the alliance, liberation, you are governing. What's the business of having these companies, apartheid companies continue? But they are locking you out. They are locking you out. So Africa, this is, it's disaster, and it's unacceptable in a way in Africa. While talking about the alliance, Africa, vehemently, that it is deeply incensed and disappointed to learn that the Taxation Laws Amendment Act had been signed into law by the president and that the annuitization provision would take effect much first. Now, and it says that the state has appropriated too much power to itself and does not believe that it is beholden to the people anymore. The strongly worded statement issued by Secretary of Kosati just recently, my friend. In the few minutes we have left, 1 minute and a half, we say the people must govern. The people must govern. Kosati, you are part of the government. You should have read that act. Don't come to us. That's why we are saying that, Africa, that parliament, people's parliament, must not be contaminated by the executive. It must go back to the people. Let's get our parliament back. Let's provide oversight. Let's be the ears and eyes of our government and our fiscals, because there's no governing here, nothing. From the land to the fiscals to anything. It's not happening. It's not happening in Africa. I'm sorry, this is an international media. It can go all over the world. But the fact is that we are sovereign people, and we fought to liberate that country. And we have to protect and consolidate our gains of liberation. Isolate Africa, Fatsala Rona. The land is ours. Tiko Rahina, Shango Lashu, we thank the privilege of talking to you, Africa, and the privilege of listening. And we say, Aluta continua, let's get our power back. People must govern, and the people's parliament must be reinstated. Truly. Thank you, my friend.